May the Lord bless us this morning as we're gathered. I'm glad to be here. I feel like I'm in the midst of a group of fellow travelers, especially after being with those of you who are married the other night at your couple's night. And I realized that we are fellow travelers together, that life is... You need me to turn it on? I have a very big... reputation of forgetting to turn the microphones on. So yes, I appreciate that prayer and appreciate the opportunity to be among fellow travelers this morning. I feel like I have, I know it's cliche to say I'd rather have come to listen, but maybe that's selfish, I don't know. But the message that I'd like to share is something that I feel like applies to all of us. And I preached it the first time well over a decade ago, probably 13 years ago or something. And I find that as life goes on, it just seems to prove this truth to be true. And what I'm about to share with you this morning. I pray for that I wouldn't be nervous, that God's word could just come forth in clarity. For a springboard, I'd like us to turn to Matthew chapter 24 and just read here in Matthew chapter 24 for about the first 13 verses. Probably a lot of us know what the content of Matthew 24 is. Remember as a child hearing a song about how things are, and just compare today with Matthew 24, the song says, and Matthew 24 talks about a lot of things, but I'd like to read about the first 13 verses. Turn with me to chapter 24, verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, they had a thought in their mind. For some reason they came to him privately, and they asked and said, tell us, when shall these things be that you're talking about? And when shall be the sign of your coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, an interesting answer. Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, and see that ye be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and shall ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now you might get a wrong impression. And so what I want to share about this morning by me reading that. But I thought it was very important to share the thought that Jesus had. The thing I would like to talk about this morning, I'll just give you the title in the outset here, the danger in gradualism. Now, I would like to spend some time and talk about the blessing of gradualism, because it also has a good part. But the reason gradualism, sometimes we call it drift, but the reason gradualism is dangerous, the reason it's maybe more dangerous is because when gradualism happens, when we don't realize it, that's when it's dangerous. Now, gradualism also happens when we purposefully try to allow ourselves to be influenced by God and His Word on a daily basis. That's also a gradualism, but that kind comes purposefully. That comes The positive kind of gradualism comes when it's done on purpose, but the scary kind, the kind that is dangerous, is the kind that happens gradually by us just relaxing. And that's why it's dangerous, because... So let's talk about these things. I'd like to make a comment here, and that is that gradual change is the greatest change method ever known. Gradual change is the greatest method of change that has ever been known. I'd like to paint a little picture here for you, maybe a mind picture. So probably all of us have had this happen to us. I wonder if I could engage you where you can relate. But have you ever had somebody present a thought to you or an idea or something to do, and your immediate response is, no way, I will never do that. I could never do that. Well, sometimes we can have that in our minds, and as time goes on, pretty soon we start thinking about that same idea, and that we used to say, oh, I'd never do that. And suddenly we find ourselves kind of tolerating it in our mind. Instead of, I would never do that, it's okay, whatever. So exposure, and then toleration, and then what I believe the next step is defense. Like, pretty soon I'm actually defending it. Oh, it's not so bad. I mean, I wouldn't do it, but, you know, some people are free to do that. Exposure, toleration, and then we defend it. And then guess what comes next? Involvement. What comes if we keep going down that trail? Pretty soon we become involved in it, and then we're not alarmed anymore. It's like there is a sequence of things that happen, thoughts and things that happen, that we just become kind of caught up in this thing where we become changed, but it's over time. Where at one time we just said, no way, we would have ran, we'd have never allowed ourselves to barely think about it, much less tolerate it or do it. So this is what I'm talking about. And I think the gradual change in that way is the most dangerous. Let's take some examples of things in life. Now, I don't know when abortion started, for example. I don't know whose idea it was or who actually did it the first time. But can you imagine the horror that it must have been the first time somebody had the audacity to perform an abortion? I don't know. I don't know the ins and outs, but imagine though the audacity of that, and how someone actually did that. And now it's like it happens thousands and thousands of times over and over again in our country. The trouble being, it happened slowly and subtly. Now, let's think about what things have we tolerated in our lives. You know, it's easy to talk about, to preach and think, you know, these things are... But oftentimes, it's not so easy to internalize it and say, that's me, that's where it applies to me. And so I'd really like for us, and I'm including myself in this, and I know you as a church, you talk about things, and we are too. We're having members' meetings and talking about things, and yeah, we all need to do this, and we must do these things and talk about where are we going and what's the ramifications of this or that but what things have we tolerated in our lives? What thing have you tolerated in your mind that is outside of the realm of church and not something we talk about in church, but something that you've tolerated in your mind enough to suddenly you're not thinking it's so bad anymore? That I mean, there's sometimes we might be raised that something is wrong, and maybe we can be enlightened, that we can lighten up on that thing. I mean, I'm not necessarily talking about that. I'm talking about things that really matter, and sometimes it's hard to decipher between those. But anyway, in Psalm chapter 1, I'd like to dwell just a little bit also in Psalm chapter 1. Not a lot of time. I don't want to spend too much time. I could go way too long with this. So I'll try not to, but Psalm chapter 1, just simply, if you want to turn to it, you can. I think I can quote a lot of it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Maybe we'll turn to it. I have a marker there. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. I have a thought about that. Where is our delight? Now, I wonder this morning if there's anybody here who is an airline pilot, who pilots an airplane. You have a license to pilot an airplane. Okay. Well, I had a dream of doing that when I was a child, and got married when I was 20 and was immediately inundated with responsibility. So, of course, I never had time to do that, but I always wanted to. But I have thought already about it says his delight is in the law of the Lord. And I like to compare it to someone who is training to become a pilot. Now, nobody would go up and train to become a pilot unless there's somebody that is very experienced, who's a trainer sitting beside you showing you how to do things. But that person who's a trainee knows that one day I will be up here and I will have the responsibility to keep this airplane aloft, and I will have the responsibility to keep this thing up, and if I don't, we're going down and I'll die and those are with me. So imagine the delight, I guess you could call it, the energy that is put into learning how to do this. And maybe that's what it's talking about when it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night, because it's our very life. If flying, keeping that airplane aloft is our very life, we will pay attention to what it takes to keep that airplane aloft. And I think that's what it's like here, to meditate on the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And then it just goes on to say, the message, and it shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. The leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And so I'd like to just lift that up, that whosoever delights in the law of the Lord. That takes effort, though. It doesn't just come automatically. It takes effort to learn. It takes effort to learn how to learn God's ways. And the Bible teaches us that he that endures unto the end, it says, I think we just read that. Somebody, it speaks of putting energy out. And Jesus said if you seek for me with all your heart, you'll find me. But the negative kind of gradualism comes when we're relaxing. Wow, that's the scary kind. And that's the kind I like to focus on this morning, not just to be negative, but to realize that it's very, very dangerous. The psalmist also said, Psalm 119, though through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. A false way is the kind that is not going to work. It's not going to keep us safe. It's not going to keep us alive. It's not going to keep that airplane aloft. It's going to cause it to, a false way is going to cause it to crash. Now, we could turn to Ephesians chapter 4. You can, but I'm just going to kind of skip over here. But I'd like to make a comment as you do. If you want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4, we're going to look at a couple thoughts there. But someone once said, unless there is within us that which is above us, we will always give in to that which is about us. You know what that means? It just means that if there is not something higher influencing our minds, we're going to give in to whatever is influencing us. Maybe this is a good time to interject. I thought I'd give an example of the GPS, the parable of the GPS, you could probably call it, even though I'm going to make it very short. I drive an 18-wheeler, not full-time, but sometimes, and I make lots of deliveries and pickups to places where I've never been before. So I've learned that it's good to run two of them, Apple and Google, side by side. Even GPSs don't always have the same opinion, kind of like people. They don't always give the same opinion. It's pretty healthy to see what they both have to say, because between the two of them, you can often get the right way. But I'd like to give an example of, I have the one of them set to avoid toll roads. So I can't always follow that one, because sometimes I don't want to avoid a toll road. If it's convenient,
I want, but if it's going to hop me over on a toll road for just a little while and cost me $15, then I'd rather just spend an extra couple minutes and stay over here. So it gives me the, so I have the one set to avoid toll roads, but sometimes it goes, it takes me way off. But I've learned that whichever one I have speaking in my ear, that's the one I tend to go. I have to really be careful. The one I don't want to follow, if I have that one speaking in my ear, I'm likely to go that way, whatever's speaking to me. Now, I might try to keep an eye on that screen and think, well, I want to follow this one. But if the other one is speaking in my ear, I'm kind of likely to, like you're driving along, take exit 42, and oh, okay, you quickly, and oh, no, that's wrong. And so whichever one is speaking to me, I turn the one off. So I think there's a lesson there that I think is interesting, and that is we got to be careful who is speaking into our ear. We got to be careful what the message is that's coming forth in our ear, because that's a very big part of gradualism. And the negative kind is because we tend to, because we're not paying attention and something is speaking in our ear, there's ideas coming into our mind through our ear, the gate of our ear, and we tend to go with whatever we're hearing. So yeah, we got to be careful. These things are real. It's just a parable, but it's really a real thing. To me, it's very real when I've got to decide which one of them I want to turn that sound off, even though I can still see the screen. But anyway, in Ephesians chapter 4, it talks in verse 23, and it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So I'd like to concentrate on that just a little bit, to talk about being renewed in the spirit of our mind. And that doesn't come, the renew, we can talk about being renewed, but there can also be a negative kind. But to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, it takes a purposefulness. And you know, that comes... These kind of purposefulness, the church is, the brotherhood is not quite enough to follow us when we leave our door in the morning and we go to work and we decide what we're going to allow us to influence us that day. Brotherhood is not always so good at keeping, we are walking out the door, we're getting in our pickup truck and we're driving down the road and we decide what we want to think about. We decide who we want to allow to influence our minds. Maybe it comes through music, or maybe it comes through podcasts, or a message that we're listening to someone preach. These things influence us greatly. And we have to be careful, I believe, that we choose to overcome this negative part of gradualism. We'll talk a little bit more about the positive side as we go on. But I think I'm not going to concentrate on Ephesians chapter 4, even though I want to lift that up as a good way. Especially where it says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And now I want to go to 1 Peter for a little bit and think about what it says there in 1 Peter, a scripture that we all know very well. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. You know, I grew up hearing this, and we often say this. It says, whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold and putting on of apparel. It's too easy just to stop there. You know, there's a but right after that. It says, you know, don't let your adorning be the plaiting of the outward adorning of plaiting the hair, wearing of gold, putting on a pair of these kinds of things. Don't let it be the outward thing that adorns your being. And then there's a but there. And then we don't concentrate enough on that perhaps. But it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart. In that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. So it tells us something not to do and then something to do. I think that's very important in this subject, that we choose to allow God to influence our minds, and then we choose to do what He has influenced us to do. And in Colossians, I know I'm going around a lot here. Topical preaching is very, very good, but also what is the other one called? Expository preaching. I'm not doing that kind this morning, so I'm hoping that I can show you that I'm not telling you anything that's outside of the Word of God, but I'm jumping around a bit. But Colossians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, verse 16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. So these are speaking of purposeful things. The only way, I'd like to just insert here as we go, that the only way to overcome this negative gradualism is a purposeful desire and a heart to seek the Lord and to give him a place in our mind on purpose. You know, you can relax all day and just walk out your door and not put something positive in your mind. But you know what? There's going to be, even in that place of not purposefully putting something in your mind to think about or allowing God to place thoughts in our mind, we drive down the road, we go out, there's going to be things. Things will come. I don't know if you ever heard me give this example or not, but how many of you have ever, maybe up here in the north, down in the south, there's a lot of old barns that tend to fall down. I grew up in the south, even though I was born just a few miles from here. My parents moved south when I was 4 years old, but I grew up in the south. But you drive down the road and you see this old barn, and there's nobody using this old barn, and it's sitting there, and it's kind of, one day you drive by and it's starting to lean a little bit, and then you drive by and it's leaning a little more. One day you drive by and the thing's collapsed. The thing just fell down. Guess why? What's doing that? It's the constant force of gravity that does not stop. Gravity is about as consistent as anything you can imagine. Gravity is, that's why we have, you know, we tend to, our skin sags, or, you know, we gravity doesn't stop. It always works. And that's a little bit the way the negative influence of the world is. It's something that does not stop. It's always pulling. And unless there's something within us, that which is above us, we're always going to give in to gravity, that which is about us. And so I'm hoping I'm inspiring us this morning, that I'm not making us feel like there's no hope, because there is. God is in the business of reshaping our minds and hearts. And that's what he's here for. That's why we're here this morning, is because we want God to reshape our hearts and minds. So just some ideas and thoughts of practicality of what we can do. Teaching and admonishing one another, as it says in Colossians chapter 3. In psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. We have so many opportunities to send a brother or sister an encouraging word. How often do we do that? We have so many opportunities. Somebody might be sending them something. How about us being more intentional about sending? I mean, we do that, I know, and it's good. But let's keep doing that. Let's do it more. 100 years ago, and I'm going to bring some more thoughts in here to stir up our thoughts and our minds. I mean, I guess about 100 years ago, divorce and remarriage was almost unheard of. When there was a divorce in a community, in a town, it was a scandal. There was like, this is terrible. How? No, we can't do this. It would become a scandal, but look how that thing has changed. I mean, just in the last 100 years or something. And now, you know what's taking its place? Kind of like a same-sex marriage. You know, it's becoming way more tolerable. Wilma, my wife, showed me an article one time about this lady who was so excited because she was adopting the Anabaptist theology and going and joining an Anabaptist church. And the trouble is, she was a lesbian and she was a pastor. She was accepted there. Whoa. And you think, how shocking is that? She was excited about it because she you know, and they were accepting her. How do these things happen? Over time, yes. It doesn't happen just overnight. States that offered no-fault divorce in 1957, there was one state in 1957 that offered no-fault divorce. States offering no-fault divorce in 1995, 50. In that period of time, not very long. And another thought here, for 35 years, the motion picture production code served as a moral guideline. for American filmmakers. And this is true. You can look it up. It really was this way. The code, there was a code. They called it the Motion Picture Production Code, to which filmmakers were required to adhere. They were required to adhere to this, including this paragraph. No picture shall be produced which will lower the moral standards of those who see it. Wow. Hence, the sympathy of the audience shall never be thrown to the side of crime, wrongdoing, evil, or sin. Well, look what has happened. I mean, that didn't last very long, did it? Romans chapter 13, if you will, just turn with me there. Those of you who have your Bibles. Romans chapter 13, it simply says, starting about verse 11, and that knowing the time that now is, and this was a long time ago, but knowing the time that now is, it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, which is simply unbridled lust, excess, shamelessness. And then it goes on to say, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's the little remedy it gives here, right? Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So the world is going to, the world's influences, just like the gravity that's pulling on that old barn every day. What if somebody likes that old barn? And that happens too. And they want to save that old barn. And they want to do something about it. Do you know you can keep that thing from falling down? Somebody who cares about this barn can get in there and start shoring it up and straightening it up. Or maybe they do it before it ever starts leaning. But if it has started leaning, you can pull it back in place and you can put some braces in and you can fix the leaks in the roof. And somebody cared. Somebody did something. Somebody had to do something to counteract the gravity that is destroying this old barn. And I think it's the same way with us as brothers and sisters in Christ, as believers, that there's this thing pulling on us all the time. And I'm going to say, and I think you know this, I'm not telling you anything new. I'm just trying to stir our minds up and help us to apply that into our today's world, that there's unless there's something to pull us back, to counteract that force of gravity that is pulling us down, that is called darkness and sin, we're going to give into it. But I'm encouraging us this morning to put on the Lord Jesus Christ, as it says here in Romans chapter 13, verse 14, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And then in 1 Corinthians 15, one verse there in verse 33, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Be not deceived. You know, we can be deceived to think that we're fine, that what I'm doing is no big deal, that it's influence that I have in. I mean, all of us know, I'm sure you as a church have talked about these kinds of things many times. Music is so influential. What we listen to, what we allow to enter into the ear gate and influences that we're driving down the road. A lot of times, you know, people who write songs and write even preaching messages, and they write books and they write, they do podcasts. They it's not always, even though it might sound okay, it's not always an influence that you want to just allow yourself to be immersed in as you work, because then your mind is kind of concentrating on something else, but something is talking into your ear. You know, turn right at exit 42. And, oh, okay. And just who is influencing our mind, our ear gate and our eye gate? Matthew chapter 22. Turn with me there, if you will, too, please. When Jesus gave quite a remedy here, and I know we've heard it many times, we'll always know how to apply it, but we need to try, right? We need to try to apply this. Jesus said unto him in verse 37, Matthew 22, this is a command. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, and on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So we ought to pay a lot of attention to this. It says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And it's a command, so there must be something for us to do to turn our attention. And I think that clearly, there's a song that we sing, because it's a verse in Psalms, I think. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. So if we taste and see that the Lord is good, I remember as a young man, I think I was around 1971 is when I was born. I think I was 16, 17 years old, February of 1988. I was just barely 17 years old. And when I got born again, I'm just struck by how close that I was to just going out in sin. And who knows what would have happened because I allowed the influence of God, became born again and allowed God's influence to influence my heart. Then I became very appreciative of that because I suddenly saw where I was going and just so appreciative that God kept me from that pit of sin. And we as young people, many of us got born again at the same time, the same week. We had a baptism afterwards where there was like 20 of us who got baptized. And so it was quite an event. But we often said, you know what? We were discouraged. Sometimes we as young people were way too much like a family. We were very close. Now, we were close to our parents too, but we probably had too much clinginess as young people because we kind of all were going through this thing together. But we would talk about this and say, you know what? This is hard. We would tell each other our struggles. We would pray with and for each other. And we would say things like, you know what? I'm not going back. I am not going back. There is no way I'm going back. So in our minds, there was some discouragement and thinking, how can I go on? But you know what? I'm not going back. Because we suddenly found an appreciation for God. We suddenly found a great appreciation for God's influence in our heart, and we saw where we would have gone, and we loved it, and we wanted it, and we were loving the Lord's ways and God's ways, and I mean, I'm not saying we fulfilled this perfectly, but I can understand what that means. And so as we go on in life, we must learn to appreciate what God has done. And do you ever think about where would I be today if it wasn't for the grace of God in my heart? Where would I be sitting today? Probably not here. Who would I be married to today? Probably not Wilma. What kind of family would I have if one and all? Not the family that, no. I mean, just the grace of God and appreciation for that. And then we realize that because of God and his influence upon my heart and mind to overcome the force of gravity that pulls us down to destruction, we suddenly realize, God, thank you. Thank you that you have pulled my feet out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. And those are things to think about. And as we move on here, I would like to bring attention to Deuteronomy chapter 6 also, where it says in verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. How do God's words get put in our heart? That's the question I'd like to put out there today. How does that happen? These words that I command you this day shall be in thine heart. And it goes on to say some things, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and thou shalt talk of them when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and all thy gates. Just all kinds of ways to remember. I grew up in a Christian home, and we had mottos hanging around, and I remember those. And we were at a store just the other day over here in Myerstown, and Wilma bought this motto that had a wonderful saying about thankfulness, something to the effect of, if I would only have today what I thanked God for yesterday, what would I have? And I thought, wow, that's a great thing to hang on the wall. These things are, and here it says it, you know, write them upon the posts of thine house. Remind yourself of God's goodness. And yeah, all of this, we're still talking about overcoming the force of gravity. That's what the force of darkness, or, yeah, I call it gravity, because it's much like it. It pulls us down, down, down. And an air an airplane, the law of aerodynamics, I think it's called, is designed to overcome the law of gravity. The laws of aerodynamics also has laws. Gravity has laws. Whatever goes up must come down. The laws of aerodynamics are there to overcome the law of gravity. But it takes a purposefulness, right? I mean, you can't just... Yeah, I know airplanes have autopilot. And like I said, I'm not a pilot. But you can't just set that thing on autopilot and expect to end up where you want. Somebody has to land the plane. And you can't go in automatic mode. You have to have fuel in that plane and wings, and the laws of aerodynamics must be alive and well in order to overcome. And that's what I'd like to hold out for us this morning in our personal lives. Church influence, brotherhood influence can't just do everything for us. We can't just keep us away from, we as people, we make personal choices when we enter the workplace. When we go out and we're driving down the road, we make personal choices about what we're going to allow our minds to be influenced by. And that's why I'd like to maybe even jolt us a little bit, because when you look across, I mean, this is kind of a stark thing to think about, but when you look at church history all the way back through the ages, all the way back through the Bible, church history is not pretty. It only has ever gone one direction. And then that's what the remnant is called, those who came out from among them. But church history is not have a good, you know, even the old order groups, a lot of them are losing a lot of things. They're trying their best, but it's like there's a fight, there is a battle going on that is, when you look at history, there's not a good sound thing that somebody was able to overcome and not ever... succumb to the laws of, or to this gradual change, this negative kind. So, yeah, may we be encouraged, though, to do whatever we can. God has called us to be renewed in the spirit of our minds. Because what we love, that's what we gravitate toward. The things that we love. I had a children's lesson one time many years ago, And I asked the children, I said, how many times do you have to do something before it becomes a habit? And one child actually raised her hand and said, one time. And I was like, wow, that's great. I didn't think anybody, yeah, but that's true. I think that's very true. You do something one time and it becomes something that you really like and it gratifies you, and you suddenly you want to do it again. It just starts a habit. So we got to be careful about our habits, you know, because what we love, we gravitate towards. So be careful about what we allow ourselves to enjoy. It's just it's a constant walk. It's a constant walk that we all need to be aware of. There was a man by the name of Edwin Hatch who wrote a song, the song said, "Breathe on me, breath of God, fill me with life anew, that I may love what thou dost love and do what thou wouldst do." That's a good heart. That song is the antidote to this thing of drift or gradualism, the negative kind. Yes, I think I'm going to be careful with time here. Proverbs chapter 2, I'd like to turn there real quick and look at a couple thoughts there. Remember, we're talking about thoughts that, ways to overcome. And in just a little bit at the end, we'll talk about the positive kind also and bring some light to that. But the reason, as I said, the reason this one is so, you have to really try hard to overcome it, is because it happens when we're asleep. It happens when we are not mindful. My son, in Proverbs chapter 2, verse 1, if thou wilt receive my words, and hide my commandments with thee, receive and hide. So shalt thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart unto understanding. These are action. I mean, I was never a teacher, but I did go to school, and there was something like an action verb or something. Maybe that's what these are. hide thy commandments, things that are things you do, and incline your ear, listen, and apply your heart to understanding. All of these are ways to overcome the negative drift that will happen if we don't. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up your voice for understanding, this is nothing passive. And seekest for her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then. That reminds me a little bit of one time I had this thought of if being the biggest little word in the Bible. Because often we have these promises that God gives, and we like to grab onto those promises. But oftentimes after those promises comes the little word if. You can have this if. And this word then kind of reminds me of the little word if. Well, the word if is right here. If thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. So, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. I mean, there's the answer, right? There it is. But we have to somehow apply it in order to overcome this law of gravity or this gradualism. And in verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant to thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. To deliver thee from the ways of the evil man, from the man that speaketh forward things, who leave the paths of righteousness to fall in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and then froward in their path, and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her shall return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Then that thou mayest walk in the way of God, of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. I could not say anything that is better than this. But the reason we preach, right, is because we try to bring these truths to fruition in our lives. We try to bring these truths in ways that apply to us. Like, yeah, that I'm trying to do this morning is, this is me, this is my life, and this is what I can do, seek the Lord with all my heart. And this is how I can understand that you, that I shouldn't just put something in my ear as I passively go down through life, because it will affect where I end up. It will affect how I live my life. Speaking of habits, someone once said, it's easier to suppress the first desire than to satisfy all that follow it. I'm learning something about that. Brother Simon and I served together in the ministry for 10 years, and that was several years ago. And during those years, I was a bit heavier than I am today. I decided that I didn't want to remain there, and I'm learning something about this. Suddenly in my age, I've got a blood sugar issue, so I have to learn how to eat right and exercise right. But it's easier to suppress the first desire than to, you know, when there's this insatiable desire to have that piece of pie, you know. Okay, so you think, well, okay, so I'll go ahead and have just a little bit. Why should I do that sometimes? Just so I can taste what everyone else is enjoying and kind of enter in. Anyway. But most times, it's better just to say no. Because, okay, after that first time, then I'm going to have to say no. And it's not going to be any easier than it is now. It's not going to get any easier to say no. So why even do it the first time? So sometimes we actually can deceive ourselves to thinking that, you know, I'm just going to do it a little bit, just a little bit. I'm not going to eat it. I'm just going to taste it, you know. And it's wise sometimes just to simply realize that it's easier to suppress that first desire than it is to satisfy everything that comes after. If we, a long habit of not thinking a thing that is wrong, maybe I'm just interjecting a thought here, a long habit of not thinking a thing is wrong gives it an appearance of being right. Time makes more converts than reason. I have a brother who I grew up with, and we often disagreed with each other. We often had disagreements in our life. And one time, I mean, I'm sure he noticed that in me too, but oftentimes when I would present a thought or an idea, he would just reject it right off the bat. No, that's not true. But sometimes I would notice that as time went on, he would be more sympathetic to that thought. But off the bat, no, that's not true. I don't believe that. And I'm sure he found me to be the same way. But so sometimes just thinking something, and it can be a positive thing. That can be a positive thing too. And again, I'm not saying that gradual change is always negative, because God uses it for good. And so we talked about influence of music, the spirit and attitude that accompanies music. I haven't talked much about that, but you know what I'm talking about. The staying power of music. When I was a child, I learned the books of the Bible through song. Like we learned a song, that Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and I learned it in a song. And so because I learned it in a song, I caught it. I got it. So when I'm turning through the Bible, and this little song is going through my mind. Okay, there it is. Because I learned the song, it's amazing how powerful that is. Amazing how powerful that is. Well, there's music that injects things through song too. I mean, there's songs that inject, I mean, God forbid that we would listen to the kind of music that injects immoral thoughts. But there is such music that injects an immoral thought in your mind. And imagine the danger of that, how that can transform and cause someone's mind to go the wrong way. And maybe we don't listen to immoral music that suggests immorality. But I mean, when I was a child, I did. And maybe some of you have it one time. I hope we're not doing any of that today. But just the thought of how powerful music is, like the ABCs and the books of the Bible, the power of a song. And the power of a thought injected into the ear. Exit, take exit 42. Get in the second lane from right. Take exit 42. And I don't even want to go there, but because it told me in my mind, off we go. We must hate all music that promotes a worldly beat and which defies the God-ordained musical pattern. We must hate all actions that run contrary to truth and godliness. I'm going to wrap up here. I could be speaking totally redundant, because we kind of know these things, right? And I'm not even saying that I think I'm telling you something that you don't know, but sometimes we just need to be reminded, like, here's how I live my life, and here's something that I'm allowing in my life. Oh, maybe that's not good. A young psychology student, probably Simon has heard me use this example before, serving in the Army, he decided to test a theory. A drawing kitchen duty, he was given the job of passing out, you say apricots or apricots? Up here in the north. Apricots. Okay, I'll be careful. He was given the job of passing out apricots at the end of the chow line. And he asked the first few soldiers that came by, "You don't want any apricots, do you?" 90% said no. Then he tried the positive approach. And he said, "You do want apricots, right? Or don't you?" And a half of them answered, "Oh, yeah, I'll take some." I mean, this has really happened, right? This is the amazing part of the power suggestion. Then he tried a third test based on the fundamental either-or selling technique. This time he asked, "One dish of apricots or two?" And in spite of the fact that soldiers don't like Army apricots, according to this, 40% took two dishes and 50% took one. Whoa, the power of influence. Let us be mindful of these things as we go through our lives. Just a friend, but there's a thought that goes through my mind. But when the story of Ammon and how he sinned, and there's one line there that I heard a man one time preach a whole message on, that Ammon had a friend. But Ammon had a friend. And in the story, that friend influenced him. And he did some terrible things. But Ammon had a friend. So let us be careful with our friends. Let us be careful. And, you know, in this day and age, my parents, when I was growing up, yeah, they regulated who we could go and hang out with. There was certain places we weren't allowed to just go and hang out. But in our day and age, it's so easy to hang out with negative friends that are other side of the world. It's just kind of the world that we live in is so different and so even scary, you might say. But let us be on our guard. Right influence leads to right thinking. Now, I made this one up because there's one, I think there's another line that says something like that, but I kind of injected this. Right influence leads to right thinking, and right thinking leads to right living. Wrong influence leads to wrong thinking, and wrong thinking leads to wrong living. So what we listen to and allow our minds to be influenced with is very important. And I'm going to wrap up here soon. I'm getting redundant here. I'm telling you all things, but you all know these things. But please, let's be on our guard. And I'll say a couple more things about the positive side of. There's a song that we don't hardly sing anymore. Maybe it's not even in our books anymore. I don't know. But growing up, we sung out of the Christian hymnal, and there's a lot of songs in there I still really like that I don't even know for sure if they're in the book. But this is one of them. The song says, "My soul, be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. The hosts of sin are pressing hard to draw thee from the skies." That's just like, wow, that's a good warning. Be on thy guard. 10,000 foes arise. You remember September the 11th, 2001? It's amazing to me that you can speak to a crowd like this and maybe half or more don't even remember it because they weren't old enough. That just tells us how time is moving on. But right after that, everybody just, you know, the airplanes were grounded. And I remember thinking, I think I was about 21 or 2 years old. No, I was 30 years old, sorry. I remember thinking, but wait a minute, no terrorist is likely to try to hijack an airplane now because of what this all just happened. I mean, sure, we can ground all the airplanes, but this is probably one of the safest times because they're going to wait a while. They're going to wait a while. And Simon knows about this. We would often go to Memphis to yard sales. They would have there once a year. And this yard sale was in September. It was right after that. And I can't believe they actually had it because everything was so quiet. But anyway, we were walking around there at this massive yard sale. It was like a subdivision where everybody had a yard sale like once a year. And we were there. It was right after September 11th. And an airplane went across the sky, like a little Cessna airplane. And everybody just stopped and went, I mean, just thinking, is that thing going to blow up? You know, everything was so real. And so we were on our guard, very much on our guard, because we were aware of the danger of what could happen. But let us, now the air travel is more than ever, that people are not afraid. You know, it's like, but now is when we need to be on our guard. And perhaps, or definitely we need to be on our guard. Okay, I think we'll go ahead and start wrapping up here. I'd really like to just mention Psalm chapter 1 again. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Such good advice. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Don't let yourself be influenced by their thinking. And sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, it's very easy to become negative because we hung around somebody who was negative, and that's all they would talk about. But the power of influence is very strong. My brother and his wife, a lot of years ago, they adopted 2 little boys from Russia. And when these 2 little boys came that they would speak a language. They would just rattle off in Russian. And I remember thinking, oh, these little boys are so smart. They can speak Russian, right? That's how it kind of seems. And they would just rattle off in Russian. But you know what? Today, they're grown, and they speak English just as well as you and I do, and they even have a southern accent. It's amazing, isn't it, how just because they were immersed in my brother's home and my sister-in-law's home, they were immersed in that. And now they're just, the language has completely changed, and they're immersed. So let us immerse ourselves in good influence. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 just says, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily," right? This is the, and even in one place it says that God takes us from glory to glory, here a little, there a little. God uses the constant force of gravity. God uses gravity too, right? Let me say it this way. God also uses gradualism. Now, when I became born again, if God would have just piled everything on me, and you need to be this, and you need to change this, and you need to fix this, and you need to fix that, and I would have been overwhelmed. I remember months later, sometimes I would think, I need to repent of this, but wow, why didn't God show me months ago? And then, as Brother Marvin was saying this morning, then I just was reminded of the goodness of God and how He wants to change me. He wants me to change. He wants to change my heart, and that's why He's telling me right now instead of piling it on me 3 months ago. And here a little, there a little. And it's God works, God uses it too. And let us, but you know, unless we seek God, His influence is probably not going to have that effect. Lest any of you, Hebrews chapter 3, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief and departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily." Yeah, we just read that. "While it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." I think I'm going to skip some things here and just try to wrap up. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, here's a good verse. "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed." There it is. There's that gradual change. "Are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord." Yes, Proverbs. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Let thine eyes look right on and look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand or to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." All of these are just such amazing advice. "If you then be risen with Christ," Colossians tells us, "if you be risen with Christ, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For you're dead and your life is hid with Christ." Set our affection. Don't just put our minds in neutral and expect that we're going to go in a good way. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." I think we already mentioned that. Wow. "Seeing therefore we are compassed about," Hebrews chapter 12, "we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him," see, he looked ahead, right? The joy that was set before him, "he endured the cross, despising the shame," because he saw something more. Gradualism creeps into our homes and churches because we as men are not being the kind of spiritual leaders that God wants us to be. The old saying is true, as the men go, so go the church. Many men today have not their backbone to stand up for what is right and true. Gradualism in families and churches today is the fruit of men who are no longer spiritual leaders in the home and church. May God help us. Those are not my words. I was repeating those. Joshua, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Just such good advice in light of this. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. They can slip away. They can go. They can leave. They can go away. Precept upon, I mentioned this verse. It's found in Isaiah chapter 28. I hope I have this right here. For precept must be upon precept. I know I have the scripture correct, at least word for word. Precept must be upon precept. Line upon precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Yeah, see, God uses it too, right? God uses gradual change. He uses it. But we are to seek it. Yeah, Brother Simon mentioned this as a closing in the couples night the other night. Now unto him that is able, he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be joy, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. So I want to leave us with that thought, that even though the power of gradual change is very powerful in the negative, it's also very powerful in the positive. But if we don't seek for the positive side, and we just kind of float downstream, the negative one is going to overcome us. And that's what I'd like to encourage us this morning, is to overcome the negative side of gradualism and allow God to change us, to influence us, to speak into our minds, to influence our hearts day by day by day. As we walk out the door in the morning and face the day, who is going to influence me? Who am I going to allow to influence my heart today? May God bless.